Alrighty. Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. It is Thursday night. It's 8 o'clock. We are your friends, your, I don't know, maybe enemies. I don't know. But we are definitely here to hang out. And we are joined tonight with Nathan Rouse, who is the creator of Jupiter Man. And we're going to be talking to him about that throughout the evening. It's going to be a good time. So, welcome to the
Thank you for having me, guys. It's awesome.
Talkcast. Absolutely, man. We're just going to talk about a couple events we have coming up before we get too crazy into things. So, this Saturday coming up at Pittsburgh Mills, we have an anniversary sale. We got a lot of stuff on sale. The whole dollar room's half price. Then the following Saturday, the 18th, the warehouse sale opens back up for the first time all season, and that'll be every Saturday till the end of the calendar year, and then maybe some in January too. We'll see. And there will be probably some Friday nights as well toward the end of the year, but follow us and keep an eye out for that, and we'll let you know. Other than that, the con is in full swing mode. We are throwing out propaganda everywhere. Justin was in Monroeville today, dropping some stuff off. I hit a couple places in South Hills today. If you guys are interested in a flyer or a poster or some postcards or something for your break room or your store or your, like, I don't know, your neighborhood library that'll take it, let us know. We'll hook them up. We'll mail it out. We'll do whatever. We mailed out
Just
like 30 of them the other day. So,
forewarning is they will take the flyers, they will not take the posters.
yeah, or
Or,
vice versa.
it's especially for libraries. I find that the posters, at least the libraries are in my area, they will not take a poster because it's they said something about federal regulations, blah blah blah. I call horse crap on that,
Sure,
but
sure.
who knows? Like,
Right.
at this rate, we got, it's illegal to be anything anymore. So,
That's right.
whatever.
So going to shows is a lot of fun. Make sure you buy your tickets now. Come down with your friends. Shows are where you meet people, like really cool people. Like I went to Pi to meet some cool people and say hi to some friends. And that's actually where I ran into Nathan. So that is how I'm segueing into this. Look at that. Beautiful. So tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll kind of go into your book.
Awesome. My name is Nathan Rouse, aka Mr. Unchained Unlimited. Small town kid from Hyattsville, Maryland, about 30 minutes from Washington, D.C. Moved out to Pittsburgh, I want to say a year to two ago, with my girlfriend who is getting her master's degree in psychology. And in the next couple of months, I'll be moving to Columbus. But always grew up loving comic books, grew up loving Saturday morning cartoons. That's just my bag.
Nice, man. That's awesome. Where are they studying the to get their psychology degree? I assume that's somewhere in here. Oh, okay, cool.
Chat.
Nice. Very cool. Very good area of the city. Beautiful over there. A lot of cool like parks and stuff in that, like the Shadyside area. Yeah. That's good, man. That's awesome. And then when you get out to Columbus, you'll have to check out our friends at like Laughing Ogre and Pack Rat and make sure you say hi.
Awesome.
So yeah, they're great people out there. So and you're again always welcome to come and back and visit and hang out with us.
Awesome.
But yeah, man, like that's cool. Like the DC area is kind of cool. Which part of the DC area where did you grow up in?
Northeast Anacostia. It's I want to say 30, 40 minutes away from the White House.
Wow.
So
That's
pretty
awesome.
close in the city area.
That's really cool, man. Like I was just curious because I'm like, what shop would you have been closest to? Like, is that like the Delaware side, or because that would be closer to the Delaware side, right?
No, it's closer to the I want to say, well, from Pittsburgh, it's only two where I was from originally, it's only 2 hours away from here now. We were
So
closer to
northwest,
UMC.
it'd be like Virginia side. Okay.
Virginia side, definitely.
So
Arlington.
like maybe Four Color Fantasies, like that would have been. Okay, cool. Yeah, those are great guys too. We know those guys too. Yeah,
Yeah,
we're
we
all a
enjoy
big
going.
nerd fraternity.
Yeah. Oh, anything within like what the general Northeast area, it's we love going to Baltimore Comic Con every year, pretty much. I missed it last year. I'm hoping to come back this year.
We set up at their show, and the guys that run Baltimore set up at our show. So, yeah, so it's a good time. In fact, Mark bought four booths for our show this year. So, yeah, he's gonna have a massive setup. And he usually brings some great silver and golden age stuff, bronze age stuff. It's good times.
Between
So,
what, him, John Hines,
Haynes.
like Haynes, there's so many guys that bring such like books that you're like, I'll never see that in my lifetime. I'm like, nope, I see them all right over there.
Yeah.
It's like
So what did you read growing up? Like, what's the origin story? Like, what comics got you into comics, and then where did you end up following into? Like, are you like a DC guy, a Marvel guy? Like, who's your favorite superhero? Like, or not even
Well,
if you're into Image, whatever.
funny enough, the first comic book I didn't even read the pages of. It was like something I was flipping through. I was like, "Oh my gosh, the art is so amazing!" I was in middle school, and I was given this this TPB by Ta-Nehisi Coates. It was a Black Panther comic, and then my friend brought it over and gave it to me, and it was like in the middle of a period, and I was just flipping through the pages, and I was like, man, this junk is crazy. I'm not reading any panels. I'm just flipping through, looking at You're in middle school. Yeah, you don't read as much. You're like, look at all this Right. And badass shit. at that point, I didn't actually read a comic till like college. It was a summer I was stuck on college campus for football. And I was just in my dorm room, and I was like, I don't got nothing else to do. But the week before we had got out for summer, I went to this comic book store, and I brought all these comics. There was like Captain Marvel is one of my faves, Steel, Superman, and then I was just reading through all of these, and I've read through all of them, and I started watching Justice League Unlimited, and I was like, huh. And then the idea for superheroes was just in the back of my mind. And then one day I got a call from my dad, and my dad was like, hey, you know, we got a Native American in our family. And we were just talking about our family history and everything. And I was like, okay, thanks, dad. Thank you for that tidbit. And then I was and then the movie that I watched like an hour after that conversation was Shazam and Superman Take on Black Adam. And Oh, I then love that one. Yeah, and that's where it initially shocked me. Like, the Juberman idea didn't come together yet. The first hero I created was named Defiance. It was supposed to be an Afrofuturism story about an African American man that travels light years away from Earth to save it when it's in some type of dystopian type apocalypse. And he mer his soul merges with a star.
Oh.
But I came up with the design for that. I wound up writing the backstory out, and I sold the character.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wind up selling the character and the idea for like $1,000 to Orbs Comics. I wind up selling it to them. And then, oh, and I wish I didn't make that mistake, because now that I'm in comics, I'm like, man, I wish I had kept that idea. But I sold all the rights to it. And that was before I was a young kid, didn't read the contract. I was like, this is $1,000. I'm in college. Here, take it.
Yeah.
And then
Oh, yeah.
Juberman came after that. Yep,
That's
Juberman came
awesome.
after that. I was like, I love Black Adam. I love Black Adam. I love the idea of Native American culture. Like, I think it's such an underrepresented culture. And I was very fascinated since I was little. Like, I've always watched like Native American story. I've listened to Native American stories, movies, everything. I've really soaked up the culture. So I was like, what if I could put all of that together into a superhero concept and sell that idea? Because at the time, I wasn't thinking, hey, I just made $1,000 off of this idea. Maybe I can make another. So I put the idea together. I wrote like a 10-page art story arc for the character, and then I went to Facebook and I was like, "Hey guys, I'm selling another character, Jupiter Man. Who wants to buy it?" And this guy hit me up. He was like, "Look, instead of me buying the character and like making all this money off of it, and you only get $1,000 out of the deal, why don't you let me help you make the book?" And I was like,
Oh,
cool.
that's awesome.
You would think.
Okay.
It's been
Well,
a while.
that's a really cool offer. Let's say
Yeah. Yeah. Then
that.
as the deal started going on, we write up this little, I will say, crappy contract after thinking about it. But we wrote it up, and then I slowly see that he's not really trying to help me make the book. He's just trying to take the character without paying me and trying to inject my character into his universe. You see it through the way that he's trying to, like, he made, like, out of the 10 pages that I wrote, he gave it to a writer. And then the writer only utilized, I want to say, what, 2 to 3% of the entire 10 pages.
Oh,
And then
wow.
he's injecting his characters all around the storyline to where it doesn't even make sense to me anymore. And what I find out later after talking to the writer is he told the writer, he didn't pay the writer off the bat. He told the writer that he was going to pay him after the revenue that he makes off of the book when it's finished. And he had me for the So after finding that out, I said, okay, well, I'm going to make the book myself because I don't like what you're doing. And at that point, after Jupiter Man, I started coming up with a bunch of different characters. I was like, yo, what if this grows and I have this character and throw this one in there? He was like, I'm only really concerned about Jupiter Man. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess we wrote a contract for one. That makes sense. And then I was like, but now it really makes sense because you had me pay for the art. You're not paying the artist yet, and you're waiting for the book to come out so you can sell it. And then what are you going to do with all this money? So I wound up doing it by myself. At that point, I didn't know how to write comic book scripts. So I had studied. I've been writing all my life. Like I wrote short stories, poems, songs. I've been writing my entire life, but I've never written a script. So I studied Stan Lee Method. I read a bunch of Alan Moore's. A bunch of Mark Waid's, man, those are some of my great, those are some of my best, like favorite writers of all time.
Did you look into like the was it comics not Comics Elite damn it, why can't I think of it? They're basically like a like an online school run by
Yep,
creators.
and it has like a
The
list
Comics
of,
Experience, that's it.
yep. I went, that's the one of the first things I went to actually. And then I just like found out how scripts were structured and wind up pulling from a lot of different areas and then came up with my own method for writing scripts. And at first I didn't write it. So at this point, the Jupiter Man, the first book that you read, the episode one, that had already been done. All the art has been done, all the lettering has been done for it, and I already sent it to New York Comic Con. With my liaison. I already sent it with him. And he called me up. He was like, bro, I'm not gonna lie to you. This book didn't do so good. Like, and at this point, I've read comics, but it's like I don't really understand the whole business side and the marketing and what pulls people into reading awesome stories. I just know what I liked. And I didn't write the script. So I was like, what was wrong? Like, why didn't people buy it? And he was like, I read the story. And I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't that good. So I go back through the book myself, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like every panel is explaining what the character is doing. There's no character development, there's no introspective anything. It's just he's doing, it's like real old, like I would the lesser form of Stan Lee stuff. The character's doing this, then he's doing that. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I didn't spend all this money. What am I going to do? So what I did was I went back through the every page myself from beginning to end, and I said, what would he say in this line? Okay, what would he say in this line? And I went back and rewrote every panel myself, and not even a script. I just rewrote all the lines. And then I gave it to the artist that I was with, the new artist, because the first artist that I was working with flaked on me for like months. And this is when we were reaching the New York Comic Con deadline. I had to find a new guy that knocked all the art out in like 4 months. I was, and he did everything. He did pencil, ink, color, and letter in
Oh,
4 months.
wow.
And I went back to him. I was like, look, this script, the words and this lettering and the script is terrible for this book. So I rewrote all the lines. Could you do me a big solid and re-letter everything? He was like, yeah, and I'll do it for free. I was like, here you go. Here's everything that I wrote. Please take it.
Score.
Please. He re-lettered everything. I gave it back to my liaison. He read it and he was like, now this is a story. I was like, oh my goodness. And then from that point on, I was writing scripts. I've written for so many people at this point. I don't know if you guys know who Ralph Madrigal is of Atreides and Justice, but I wrote like his issue 3 to 8. I wrote like a 250-page graphic novel with a bunch of different indie creators that's coming out called Hypnosis Authority. Like I've written for a while now, which is great. And I've been in comics for like 4 years now. So I did Jupiter Man episode 1. You guys have episode 1 and 2, and I'm working on 3 now. But that's basically my wild ride into getting the comics.
So when you went to, so I have two questions. One, when you went to New York Comic Con, were you like set up in Artist Alley trying to push it there,
I
or
believe.
were you just walking around trying to get feedback? Because
Well,
there's a
I
difference.
wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't there. I sent my books. At this time, I was working with a guy named Thomas Ryan. He had this thing called Vivid Panels, where and he would say, "Look, we're going Vivid. I'm taking Vivid Panels to New York Comic Con, and all the people that want to just send me your books, like send me a box of your books." I sent like what I want to say 100 copies with him. And he said, just pay me a small fee, send me your books, and I will sell them along with my books at my booth. And he had created this big setup because he had his own comic book universe, and he video recorded how he was selling everything. He did good work. It was just my book just wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. So yeah, I can't blame it.
So my next question was, did you study writing in college then, and where did you go for that? Like, where'd you go to college in general, and then what did you end up studying if, because you said you wrote a lot, so I'm just assuming maybe you have like an English degree or something.
No, actually, funny enough, I went to Bethany College in West Virginia. And I really for writing, it's just something that I've always done. I've always had the innate ability to tell stories. It's not something that I formally studied or trained in. It's just something I've always been able to do, strangely. I went to college for psychology, and then I switched my major and then did something which is the RACE program, which is basically something like sports management. I can run my own recreation centers and stuff like that. But nothing ever really formally in writing. It's just a hobby that I picked up and never stopped.
That's awesome. One of my friends is actually, I think, the volleyball coach at Bethany right now. So,
Wow.
yeah,
Okay.
he's a good dude. Shoemaker, Chuck Shoemaker is his name. So,
Huh. That's funny because my
you're like,
girlfriend
I
also
know that name.
girlfriend also played on the volleyball team there,
Okay.
so she might know. So I might have to ask. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there, I think, like 2 or 3 years at least, so
Wow.
it's very
Okay.
possible. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. I went to college. Well, he was coming into college right after I left, but I hung out in the area for a while, so I got to know him.
Wow.
So,
That's
yeah.
cool.
So, cool. So, like, that's a crazy awesome ride of how this book got created and stuff like that. I mean, you name drop some guys that you love, like Mark Waid, Alan Moore. That's great. I mean, I love those guys too. Mark's actually been at our convention before. He's a super nice guy. I really like him a lot. I love Alan Moore's Swamp Thing stuff. So if that was a lot of the stuff you read, then we're right there, man.
That's my favorite writer of all time. I didn't list them yet, but my favorite writer of all time has to be split between Mark Waid and Kurt Busiek. Mark Waid and Kurt
Very
Busiek.
cool.
And my favorite comic book series of all time is Astro City.
I was gonna say, you said Kurt Busiek, like, so you like Astro City then?
I love it. I love it. My favorite villain of all time is Infidel. And if I had to choose between the Samaritan and Superman, I'm sorry. It's the Samaritan for me. It is. It's crazy. It is. I love that
Awesome.
series. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome, man. All right, so let's take a look at the book. Give me a second to find the share button again because they moved everything. And this one. Boom. Cool. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about this. And so this is this the cover without like the without the, I guess, the trade dress on it? Is that what
Oh,
this
the
picture
trade
is?
dress would be at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep, there it is. My bad.
No, you're good.
So, cool. Yep, so there's this part. And then I love that you have bullpen credits. Like, there's two guys, but we're a bullpen. It's fine. So, I really love like the art in this book. It is really like it really hits a lot of good beats for me.
Appreciate that.
And the writing is very well done. The at least for what I liked about it, was that it was consistent. It moved the story along. The lettering is interesting though, because like there's a lot of like the random Jupiter being huge, and then like some of it I'm just like, I don't know if I'd have made that choice, but I'm not an editor, so whatever. So what I mean, we can kind of walk through this first issue here if you want to walk us through, so people know what they're looking at.
So the concept of Jupiter Man to start off is everything that you see in the first episode, which is so funny because I love telling people this. So at first, what Jupiter Man was supposed to be was your modern epic, all the things that I love, Black Adam, Native American history. But after talking to my brother, and us discussing it, he was like, "Bro, it sounds nice. And if the original manuscript was used, it probably would have looked awesome. But since we have what we have now, it's been done before." And I was like, "Well, what am I supposed to do? The art has already been drawn." And he was like, "Just switch it up." So now what you see is all a simulation. The first episode, it went from a man being chosen, a Native American man being chosen by three Roman gods to be a champion of Earth. I switched it from that premise to the government tricking a Native American god into being bestowed powers by three Roman gods to be a protector of Earth. So everything you see in the first episode is a simulation. Something that's being fed to Jupiter Man.
That's even more of a cool mind fuck that I enjoy out of it. So, here we actually have Jupiter, which is interesting. I'm like, my only question was, where are his eyes? But he doesn't need them. He's a god. That's the answer.
And my original thought process about the Roman gods were for each of them to be a personification of what they are. I didn't want anything to be personified as human, so to speak. I wanted them to be a resemblance of what they represent. So like you have Jupiter, who is supposed to be a storm god. He'd fit like a personified lightning bolt almost. Like he's sharp and jagged and filled with imbued with power. And then Pluto, when you get down to the second page, is the he looks decayed and frail, and and then you have and everybody is the personification of that. You got Neptune in the bottom left. He's like ice, and then you have Mars. He looks like a monster, war and everything. So everybody is kind of personified the way they're supposed to be in the thing that they represent.
And how much control did you have over the design of the characters?
I told the artist, well, the original artist, because I had to transfer like the so the original artist made the concept art and designs for the characters, and I had to transfer that over. But what I told the original artist is I want a psychedelic feel, like kind of like a mind trip. So if somebody were to like take some shrooms or whatever, what would they see? What would the concept be? And then he was like,
Ah, they gotta read this. This is great.
He's like, "Huh, okay, I can do something with that." And then this is the designs that he came up with, and I was like, "Great, that's what I need."
Because part of me is like, man, I don't know if I were tripping, I would be like, this is scary. Like, but yes and no. I mean, because like Pluto kind of has like a like I it almost like, I'm almost like, man, that looks like a helmet, but I don't think it is. And I
It's
dig it
very
because he,
Del Toro-esque.
yeah,
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
Which
why
that's
it's like
that's what I was trying to figure out,
yeah.
like what that
He's
felt
actually one of
like.
my favorite
Yeah.
directors too, so
Yeah.
I'm glad
Oh,
you like
my wife is a huge Hellboy nut, so
that
you
you
know, yeah, we appreciate Del Toro here in the
For
house.
sure, for sure.
So
Yeah. And I love that the Pantheon had like its own floating like meeting room. Like I thought that
Yeah.
was kind of cool.
The concept
So
of that was based off of the Upside Down is basically from what is it called? From
really?
Stranger
Stranger
Things.
Things. Yeah.
Yes. What the artist told me is it would be cool if the guys like phased in and out of their throne place. Kind of like if you have to enter backwards to enter forwards in like their throne space. And I was like, that's kind of cool. So I like that.
Yeah, it's also got a bit of a. You mentioned Shazam before. It's got a little bit of Rock of Eternity vibe to it, which I dig too. Yeah, because that was kind of what the Rock of Eternity was kind of anyway. Was a bunch of gods hung around and stuff. So that it's a very. I like it because it's a futuristic yet sci-fi take on the Pantheon's throne room, and I dig it a lot. So it also has like a bit of a. Like I just rewatched all of Agents of Shield, and there's a season where they go and they're talking to they call them the Confederacy, and it's like the Kree and a couple other people, and they all just like kind of meet in this black room, like but they're all like in their own spot, and I'm just like, man, this is like perfect. It's like just like that, especially since it's like floating in space and random. So, all right, so here is 1819, August 15th, in Nevada. So explain what's going on here for everybody.
So, in the original iteration of what the story is supposed to be, Wahali Ishtar, which is Wahali's Native American name, in modern times it's Michael Wahab, but here's to Wahali Ishtar. He, in the original iteration, he strikes his father, who is the chief, for beating his mom, and then for striking the chief of his tribe, he has to run away. So this is him after that instance, returning. But for the entire time of his, for most of his youth, he was growing up like basically protecting the land around like his tribe's place, like their resting ground. Because at this point, this is the time of colonialism and people are coming in, moving to the West. So at this point, he didn't necessarily leave that place. He's just been on the outskirts protecting it from outsiders. But now he's returning home to kind of make amends, but at this point his tribe is gone.
Okay. And are you mentioned you were part Native American. Are you part Cherokee then?
No. Do I know about the Native American thing? No. All I know is I'm African American. That's why when my father told me that, I was like, okay, Dad.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
But
Cuz
no,
I was
I'm
like, did you link it up? Like I didn't know if you like synced it with like your family. Like do
But
the
funny
tw
enough,
like 28 and me or whatever the fuck it is.
if I am, I don't know, but I could find out, I guess. But funny enough, actually, what we'll find out later in the issue, and I guess this is a spoiler or something, but I don't have a problem saying it, is in real time, Wahali's father is black.
Wow. There
What
you
we
go.
yes, what we find out later in his series is that he's black, and we find out the actual origin of how Wahali becomes Jupiter Man later in the series, because all of this is a simulation that he's being fed over and over again in his brain to believe
Right.
this.
So I really love this panel though, like this whole panel within the panel. I just think this whole shot looks great. So, and then,
This is the
so,
moment.
go
Actually,
ahead.
this is double. This is a double origin, which is people are going to find out later. This is the origin of how he becomes Jupiter Man, but also that little boy becomes a villain later. So, yeah.
Like this shot is also just freaking amazing. Like the tomahawk to the face. Like or to the ear, I guess. Like just it's just in there and I'm just like, "Whoa, brutal. I like it." So, let's see here. I love that the guy that got hit with the axe is still falling in this next panel. He's just like, ah, shit, It's like some Pee Wee Herman dying shit, like in Buffy the
Right.
Vampire Slayer. All right. So he saves the kid,
Winds up saving
trips
the
and
kid,
falls.
loses the child.
So, he just loses him on the way down, but doesn't find him? Or is he looking for
Oh,
him here, the
he's
kid?
looking for him
Okay,
actively.
okay, okay.
Yep.
Oh,
That's
yeah, because it's maybe he ran
too.
in here to hide. Got it, got
Yep.
it. Yep. Olympus Pride Cave. That's a very interesting. What made you call it that? I'm just curious.
Because adverse, well, this is the only reason it's called the Olympus Pride Cave, and it's stated that is because that's kind of the information that's being fed to him.
Okay.
So what we're reading is as it's being perceived to him, which is what we'll find out, through the road. And actually, in the second episode, it's kind of hinted that something is off. But what everything that you see is what's being fed to him. It's like, why is Native? Because, oh, actually, this is the perfect explanation. So I tried to partner with a Native American community here. But after reading the book, they weren't necessarily completely sold, just because they're like, well, there's a lot, you're mixing a lot of Greek and Roman history into Native American culture, and it's not historically accurate. And I was like, there's a reason to that. The reason to that is he doesn't necessarily know his own heritage in the story because of the information that he's being fed. So he's lost. So all the informational bits, they're like, this is off. Native Americans don't say this. I'm like, you're right, they don't. Which is why it's being fed to him, and which is why he's thinking these things, because he doesn't know any better. So
Right.
that's kind of why it's called the Olympus Pride Cave. And also, Romans and Greeks kind of coincide, and they both live in the Mount Olympus.
Right. Yeah,
Yeah.
they just have different names. Yeah,
Right.
because, can't have anything one way ever.
Right,
So,
right.
then you have a bunch of hieroglyphs and a very long pit. This is interesting because, is the panel on the left him sliding and falling in, or is it pulling him in? That was the only thing I couldn't figure out from this panel.
He stepped towards it. Well, if you go up a little bit for me real quick.
Yeah.
So he steps towards it, and then the hole is expanding.
Oh,
It's
okay. That makes more sense.
breathing him in almost.
Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
that wasn't quite, I guess as that wasn't quite like noticeable, I guess. But other than that, this shot of him falling is freaking awesome. So that he falls. Gets hit by lightning. Oh crap, there's Jupiter. Look at the size of Jupiter. Also, then he's like, oh, I guess I'm naked. So, because you can never get
Fine.
bestowed by God powers when you have clothes
Well, when
on.
you
Come
have clothes on.
on.
Yeah, come on now.
Right? So, but just look at the sheer size of him compared to him. Like, that's just awesome. So, all right.
Actually, one of my favorite. This is actually one of my favorite pages out of the entire book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is just him witnessing time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love
And then being
it.
filled with the suit.
And then, so the suit just forms over top of him, right?
What he finds out later is that it's basically just a mesh of alien tech that the government kind of, redeveloped, but he can summon it on and off with like sun and electrical energy.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's kind of cool. And I am Jupiter Man. So then this is him fighting with his tribe
Yep.
and against the, I guess, pioneers, right? Frontiersmen.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
And
Frontier.
kicking that horse in the face. Love it. Your artist did a really good job on these panels. Like these
Beautiful.
action
I love it.
panels did really well. Yeah.
Every time I talk to him, I'm like, bro, you did such an amazing job. Such an amazing job.
And then
It's
this
at this
is, yeah, go
Yep.
ahead.
Oh, well, at this point, it's like he's done so much, but there's a certain piece of him, or there he believes there's a certain piece of him that's like he should be doing more, but he can't do it right now. Not as he's choosing sides. He needs to be above choosing sides. So he has to enter a spiritual state of hibernation and allow humanity to decide.
Cool. All right.
We lose the
So
antagonist.
how do you say that dude's name?
Bavias.
Okay. So he is an alien race
Yep.
that does what compared to in this
Well, his
universe?
he's kind of low key, he's kind of just like Superman in a sense. His planet is being colonized by an alien race called the Umbrax. So he's helping his native people try and protect them at this point in time until he enters the cave. Because then it's like, I gotta kill these guys. At first, it's just, I'm gonna protect my people. Now it's, I have the power. I'm about to take them out.
So he also falls, gets hit by lightning,
Yep. But
and
he, so the difference between their powers, which is a very interesting thing, is Jupiter has the three gods that choose Jupiter, I mean, Jupiter Man, are Jupiter, Mercury, and Sol. Though that's Jupiter and his two sons. So at this point, it's like we understand what we have to do. We have to relinquish our power to choose a champion. We're together on this. Let's do it. Pluto, Mars, and Neptune—they're constantly fighting over control of the body. So when they're like, we're giving our powers to this person. We're giving our powers to this person to rule over existence, in like kind of like retribution of what Jupiter wants us to do, and because this is what we're supposed to do as gods. We're supposed to rule everything. The fact that we have to give our powers to some champion is dumb, pretty much. But this was Jupiter's plan, to have an eternal battle between good and evil, because that's what creates balance anyway. So they played right into his hand.
And then this is him calling out that would be Pluto, Mars,
Yep.
and then Neptune. Okay. Cool. That's what I thought. And I was just like, I just want to make sure. So, like, but how badass does that look? Like, look at those, like, hoof pinchers type feet. Like,
And
neat.
they're well done too. Usually when they try to do pinchers like that, that's not quite right. And they
Right.
look
Right.
actually function, and it's like, he actually drew feet opposite of Rob Liefeld. It's all good.
I really like these two panels here, like, because it's very, but not just because he says puny Umbrax. That is pretty funny though. But like, it's so telling of like, there is stuff going down, like, and he's gonna, like, he is not powerful enough to just take these dudes out, and then you see him do it. So how much of this design did you have a creative control in? Like,
Funny enough, a lot. So his character design, this is actually a funny information. His character design is based off of, have you guys seen Lilo and Stitch, right? You know that big gray alien, like that bodyguard guy that is tracking Stitch down?
Okay, got it.
That's
Yep.
what his design is based off of. I basically was like, what if I took this? What if I took this and just turned it up to 100 and gave him? And I was like, yeah, because the other reason is he gets an upgrade at the end of the issue, so I needed something menacing enough, but not too menacing to where it's like an upgrade wouldn't make any sense. So I was like, I just need a base alien design, and I like this design from Lilo and Stitch, so I was like, that's the design I'll use.
I was gonna say it kind of looks very Ben 10-ish too. It looks like one of
Yeah.
the couple of the aliens combined from Ben 10. I started rewatching that just because I got bored. I was like, oh, it's on Tubi for free. I'm gonna start
Yep.
watching
Nice.
it again.
Nice. I like this like beast they're riding, because it kind of reminds you of something out of like a Edgar Rice Burroughs type thing, like a Warlord of Mars type vibe. I really dig that.
Which is funny because one of my favorite movies is John Carter of Mars.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
I literally have a DVD of it sitting across the room from me right now.
Wow.
Yeah. So I love it. It was so good for the time, and everyone gave it shit.
Right.
But like John Carter, Dejah Thoris, like all that stuff, like that part of the Burroughs world is like the only pulp stuff I really love. And right. And if you're into that, you definitely should come to the show because there is something cool that I can't talk about yet because it's not done, and it has something to do with that universe, and it's
awesome.
Freaking awesome, and I'm super excited about it. So, all right, so we're gonna go down here. So, this seems weird, and I don't know if it's just if the artist switched, but like this stuff, like up here. Right. Looks like super killer, then it kind of like it feels to me like it kind of backtracks at this page to like to where it's almost like a little more basic, but I don't know if that was on purpose or if that was just how the artist decided to do it. But the other thing I think is cool is you see the gods talking to him in the different color panels, and they each have their own text, they each have their own color. That's very cool. I love that because it reminds me a lot of Daniel Way when he was writing Deadpool. Each of his interior boxes had a different, like it was a white with regular text, gold, yellow with black text, and then white with italicized text. So there were three different voices all at the same time, and this is kind of like kind of a similar thing that I really dig about that. But you made it even more precise of who's what.
I wanted to do that because I wanted to make sure that one, people understood that he has these different voices in his head all the time telling him what to do. I wanted also to split up how he showcases his powers, because when he's using Neptune, it's water and ice, or he can mix his powers together, or when he's using Mars, he can influence people to do like nefarious acts. So I just wanted to be able to split that up so people understood how he was utilizing his powers.
Very cool. All right, he also has a bit of a like a invincible villain type look to him, which I kind of dig. Like you could see that character, something that looks like that in the Invincible universe very easily, I think, which I dig a lot. So not that I'm a big fan of Invincible, but it's it's good. It is good. I just not a huge fan. So all right, so here's my question on this page, and I don't remember, because like I read these when you first sent them to me, so I don't remember everything 100%. How does he know who Bavias is? Like, it's 100 years later, but like, have they met before? Did the gods tell him, hey, this is what's happening, you gotta go and take out this guy? Like,
so because Jupiter, all the gods are connected.
Okay.
The champions know about one another.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... So when they're popular, the minute they're chosen, both of them know that inevitably we're going to have to meet.
Okay. That was kind of where I was thinking it was going, but I just couldn't. I was like, I'm going to ask that question because I couldn't remember. So.
And also, one of his powers is spirit walking. Like, that's one of his natural abilities. So he can tell regardless just because they're connected by spirits.
So this makes me think that he was literally in that cave for 100 years,
right?
Just hanging out in this big hole for 100 years, whatever, it's fine. So or it's like, oh, I'm just gonna wait till the bad guy shows up and he's here. So
at this point, he hears somebody getting picked on. This is actually a cool personal tidbit about me. So I've been bullied before, and I wanted to inject that into the book. Because I was like, there was one time where I was getting picked on, and I just looked to the sky and was like, man, if Superman could just face the stage one time and just tell people to stop picking on me, I would love that. And I was like, I should write that in a book. So this is basically me living out a childhood dream of a superhero coming out of nowhere, and stopping the bully from picking on him.
So I'm assuming you're the guy with the bat then?
That's funny.
No, just kidding. Like, although it is funny that you kind of made him like a blonde Marty McFly. So no, it's cool.
No.
So this guy in the blue shirt is you, right? Like top
Yeah.
left panel there. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I loved this interaction because they're just kind of like, what the hell is going on? Like, who is this guy? So, and then the like the flick of the wrist throwing him into the pole is hilarious. So, like, did you write that into the script, or did the artist just
Yeah.
decide to add that in? Okay.
Yes.
Oh man, this panel totally looks like the end of a G.I. Joe episode. Like, pork sausages, pork sandwiches.
A lot about, well, what inspired me to write this the way that I did, and what inspires me to write a lot of my comics is the fact that I love Saturday morning cartoons. Like, that's one of my biggest inspirations about writing. I feel that cartoons this day and age just don't hit the same. I grew up on Brave Star and He-Man, and I grew up on all these great comics. I mean, comics and Saturday morning cartoons. And I was like, what if I can inject everything that I love into a comic book universe? So having superheroes talk to kids and having there be a certain level of like true heroism is something that I enjoy writing.
That's awesome. I agree with you 100%. And Justin and I both grew up on Saturday morning cartoons and He-Man, like the movie's coming out, and we're both super pumped because we're I was born in the 80s and Justin was born in the late 70s, and it those were things that we definitely 100%
Grew up
understand.
on.
Like, and you're kind of right, like cartoons nowadays don't really have that message that they used to have.
I think
They
they attempted to, like the newer 2000-ish He-Man did have those little afters, like at 30 second, this is the moral of the story and you shouldn't do this. They tried to inject that. Granted, that did not last long, although I thought it was a really cool series regardless, but that's my opinion on that. But the 80s one was definitely more, you got the whole, bully, it's not right to bully, it's not right to be prejudiced against somebody just because they look different than you. Like all the stuff that, our parents would instill in us, the cartoons kind of did that double time and more on our level than us trying to figure out as kids, where we're like, I don't understand what you're saying. And they're like, well, just go watch He-Man and he'll explain it easier for you.
Because He-Man totally wanted to explain that. You're not getting that same I guess message out of, and I'm just gonna say it, like, you're not gonna get that same message out of anime, right? Like, I've never seen an anime and then at the end been like, man, that had a great message about not bullying people. Like, or man, I should totally like be nicer to my younger sister because that's how this guy was and it helped him out. Like, they can never, I've never seen those, I don't want to say morals or ethics, but like the life lessons that they were, right? And
Certain
and I think you
animes
even, what's that?
not certain animes have that in the series, written in the series,
Yeah, but
not
you
so
gotta
much
watch
here.
like 30 freaking episodes to
Yeah,
understand it, and that's the point.
like 30 episodes.
But that's
How
what makes
much
that good.
of this season is charging a spirit bomb? That's all I'm gonna say.
Hey, that's different, okay? You
I
cannot.
like Dragon Ball. I'm a Dragon Ball fan, and I'm gonna say that. Like, come on.
But
So.
there's a difference between what Dragon Ball Z did, because that was there was no life lesson in Dragon Ball
Oh,
Z. Life
no.
lesson in Dragon Ball Z is if you scream enough and buff yourself enough, you can beat the crap out of the evil. That's the only thing you have.
And don't trust androids.
Yeah.
Don't trust androids. So this is kind of a cool panel, like where he's kind of getting all of these messages, and it's interesting that you use the All Mother, right? The title All Mother in here, because before that, I don't believe anything was referred to with a female side to it. So what made you choose All Mother here for here?
So what people find, I love like injecting like little Idleversal things into the book, but what people will find out later is that it's the beginning basically of everything, of the Idleverse in general. So the Idleverse's thought processes, the one question that it answers is, what if everybody is right? So what if every religion, what if every philosophy or everything, what if everybody's right? And it all comes from like a censored point. So what Jupiter Man is he's a conduit of the spirit world. And the spirit world in the Idleverse is just different layers and frequencies of like of energy. And the
I like
All
that
Mother,
idea.
and what the All Mother is essentially is she was the medial point. She was the first point of the Big Bang. And her son was the other point that created what we know to be the Big Bang. So he is connected to the creation of life. So that's why he's
Cool.
like All
There you
Mother. He
go.
doesn't even understand this yet, but that's why it's so natural for him to say, because his natural ability is connected to the source.
There you go.
Right. See, I really dig that. And then as you said that and explained it, I don't know why, but all I had was this picture in my brain of Jesus eating the Flying Spaghetti Monster, like out of a bowl.
Wow. Going straight for the blasphemy.
I was like, oh, well, they're all together. That's kind of cool.
That is hilarious.
Wait, does that mean we get the South Park, the ugly South Park goat god too? Because he's part of it.
Baphomet's just like being like, yo, bro, give me some. Like,
Oh my goodness.
that's cool
Oh
though.
man.
We also get Gaia from Captain Planet too,
Yeah.
so you gotta add her in there. So
Well, he does mention
you could
Gaia
make a huge
earlier.
universe out of this, man. You could be like, hey, I want to do a collab with Captain Planet, how about that?
But also, what I actually, so the way I built the Idleverse is it's based, like the Idleverse essentially, like our source wall, I call it the screen. So there's going to be like, so there's like a metaphysical like element, or like a meta element, where stepping past the screen is kind of like stepping into like another channel, which would be another universe, which is why it's so easy for my universe to do collabs, because it's like, oh, I'm stepping past the screen to do a collab book with somebody else. So I want to make it easy for the Outiverse to do a bunch of different things when it comes to collabing with people and just having fun.
That's awesome. So are these future characters that we're gonna see? Is that
On
okay, cool.
the left side, you got Aegis. That's a book that I'm working on. That's actually, oh wow, this I love explaining this. What we do in the Idleverse is we bring people in, or we bring fans in. So you give us, your likeness or whatever, and then we make a character based off of that. You collab
Oh,
with
it's
me,
awesome.
we create a character, throw you in. So yeah, my girlfriend got a character in the universe called Aegis. I'm making her book now. And you got Hancock all the way at the top, Madam Venus, Sir Absolute, who is my love letter to 80s wrestling. I can't wait to write that book.
Nice.
Then you got on the right my brother's character, Amori, and then Blue Mantle is, he's covered by the thing, but Blue Mantle's in there, Martyr, and Braven is also behind it.
Nice.
But yeah.
I love the cartoon version of you right here, too. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, we're running low on time, so we're not going to go to the second issue. So, this is like I'm real excited that you came on. This is awesome, man. Super excited about it. So where would people be able to follow you? Where would they be able to buy the book? Where would they be able to do all that stuff?
Well, I'm on TikTok and I'm on Instagram at Mr. Unchained Unlimited and Idleverse with a Z. You can get me on TikTok or Instagram. Also, we're on Indie Planet with both the first and second episode, so you can get the first and second episode on Indie Planet. I'm trying to set up my own site so you can get them personally from me, and my shipping is a bit quicker, so that's why I'm trying to get my own site. But you can get them off Indie Planet right now, and you can also get me on TikTok or Instagram at Mr. Unchained Unlimited and Idleverse.
And how much is the book, each book when they want to buy it?
Both 10 bucks.
Okay.
Yep, both 10 bucks. And
Cool.
if you want me to sign, I'll sign. I have no problem with that either.
Nice. Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on. This has been awesome. I'm really digging the book. I'm gonna reread issue two at some point. I really like it, man. I think you got something really. The thing I like about your approach and how you talk about it is you have a very big universe, but you're very focused on how you want to do it. And that is going to keep you from kind of starting six projects and never finishing one, right? And I really like it. Like, it's very similar vibe. Like, we're good friends with the guys from Comicsburg. In fact, I think when I was talking to you, I may have been talking to Grant Lankard, who was there. He did Beowulf and like League of Cryptids and stuff like that. There's a couple other guys that are part of the Comicsburg circle, like the publisher, that are have similar like understandings of how their universe wants to go because they control their own universe. And like it really I really feel like you would fit in well with those guys, and those guys are succeeding, so I feel like you're gonna succeed pretty well. And that's just keep it up, man. Like you just gotta get it out there and shop it to as much as you can, and going to smaller shows and setting up and selling them there is usually a good idea to check out, or even taking it to shows and just getting like professionals to give you feedback on it, which is also good. I know a lot of guys that have done that too. So like portfolio reviews and stuff like that. So, but yeah, man, thanks for coming on. Everybody make sure you follow him, buy a book. If you can get him to sign it and mail it, maybe get it graded. I don't know, whatever. Someday when it's a movie, you're going to want it. Or maybe it's on a Saturday morning cartoon if they ever make those again.
If they do an animated series, we're back.
There you go. There you go. So, Justin, you got anything else?
No, you pretty much said it. I'm just here as the observer at this point.
He had too much sunshine today.
No, I'm cool. No, just a long day. That's all. That's all.
I want to say thank you guys for having me on. This has been awesome. I love coming on podcasts and just, talking shop. And this has been great, another great time talking with, fellow creatives and, connoisseurs of what we love doing and what we love reading and looking at. And like I always tell everybody, don't forget, go beyond and look to the sky.
Absolutely. There's more. We always tell people like where when you ask what are you into, and they're like, well, I'm not into superheroes. I'm like, I didn't ask you what your favorite superhero is. I said, what are you into? And they just don't understand that, there's comics for literally
There's
everyone now.
stuff
So
beyond the
yeah.
superhero. It's, you
So,
know.
yep.
And that
So
we're glad to help another independent
absolutely. We love
guy.
having guys like you on because like it does a lot of stuff for us. Like one, it gets us connected with another creator so that we can support somehow. If it's just you being on the show, cool. People buy the book from that, cool. A lot of guys come on to talk about their Kickstarters, so if you ever do a Kickstarter, let us know. We'll definitely have you back on for that.
Good question.
And like and the other thing it does is like it keeps us remembering why we do it, right? Because we want to do it not just to support the creators and the new next coming guys, because you know, someday you might be the next Brian Michael Bendis. Who knows? If you do, at least remember us. That's all we're asking. But for us, it's, you know, like, shops should do that. Like, retailers should be helping these guys out because we want more. You can't pigeonhole yourself into just doing the same stories over and over and over again. You got to get out of there. And I think a lot of the guys that you talked about being your favorite writers actually are the guys that really break that mold sometimes. Especially Mark Waid. Like he has definitely got out of taking some characters way out of their box. And I love every second of it when he does it. So,
Todd McFarlane does his retailer speech in New York Comic Con every year. And last year he told it, I'm here at the retailers because it's like, you guys are the ones that made me the billionaire that I am, because if it wasn't for anybody buying my stuff, I wouldn't exist.
And in which case, like, we said, can we have some of those billions? But he said,
yeah, he spent it all on that Mark McGuire baseball. That's what he did with that.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he own a hockey team or a football team too? Like a Canadian football team?
Maybe.
Oh no, I'm thinking of who was the other guy? No, it was McFarlane. He owned the Jets, I think, for a while, like the Winnipeg Jets. I think. I think it was Winnipeg. Anyway, thanks again, Nathan, for coming on, dude. It's been awesome. For everybody else, make sure you check out your local comic shop. Support everybody, not just us, but if you buy from us, even better. Make sure you follow him online. You follow you get all the information. If you like the book, you know, poke at him, see what he's doing next. It's always good to engage. And you know, hopefully we'll see him around at a couple other shows in the area, even though you're going to move to Ohio. So, all right, guys, we'll catch you later. We'll see you next week.